Good morning again, my brothers. How good and absolutely pleasant it is for us as brothers of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated to come together with unified hearts and spirits as we share each day important information, challenging inspiration, and encouragement. What a joy it is to hear the joyful noise of the brothers as they enter the call. I'm particularly excited to hear the voice of Brother Boone, who joins us as a brother who was initiated in North Carolina through Mu Psi Chapter, a 1939 brother who is older than most of us and has been in the fraternity longer than most of us, who sacrifices each day along with his legacy, his son, to join us on this call. That's encouraging. And brothers, I ask you to reach out to others that that can join us in prayer as we lift our fraternity spiritually. Thank you so much for what you do each day. We come together more than two or three, so we know that he is in the midst of us. That's E with the big H, and we thank God for his presence with us on the call. We're blessed, as always, to have Supreme Council members on the call, and it's also wonderful to hear the voices of those who are our district representatives from our various districts join us on the call each day, along with other district officers. And as always, we're delighted to hear from our grand officers. Dr. Powell is on the phone, and we thank him for a wonderful sermon yesterday and prayer. And we thank our GB40 for leading us each day in time of sharing information and encouragement. And so it is at this time that I have the delicious delight of presenting Grand Bachelor's number 40, Dr. Tony Knox, to the line to share with us any comments that he would share with us. Dr. Knox, we rise in spirit to salute you. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Doctor. And brothers, I rise in spirit to you. And I'm extremely excited this morning as we come on because of the fact that I know that the work that we have done is going to pay off. Dr. Marion has given the commercials. We've had the prayer calls. The chapters have adopted precincts. And all the work that we've done, we have an opportunity to see the results of it. But the day's not over. So we must continue doing what we have been, go out and work the polls, get people to the polls, do everything that we can to be the difference that it's going to take to move our country forward. And, brothers, I want to ask you for a personal prayer this morning as my son-in-law goes into surgery at 7:30 to have his second back surgery. And I ask for your prayers for him as he and my daughter get ready to go through it. And, brothers, I know that you will. You've lifted us up, and you've carried us for a long time. And as I look back and I see all the things that's happened for us on this call, and I look back and see all the things that the people have been prayed for on this call, I know that the Lord is in the midst. So I can't help but to thank Reverend Dr. Powell and Reverend Dr. Richardson for their vision and for continuing to do this, and for all the prayer warriors, all of you that are on this call, and all the chaplains for what you've done to make us better. You've made Omega better, you've made our communities better, and you make our country better. And so, brothers, from the bottom of my heart, I thank you, and I love you all.
And how we thank you, Dr. Knox, for your continued and persistent and consistent time with us. And we pray that God will continue to bless you and Angela and the members of your family. God bless you so much.
Thank you.
At this time, it is my privilege, pride, and delicious delight to present the chaplain of the 4th District. He has blessed us in times past, and I know today will be no difference. He's reliable and he's relevant. He's the anointed and appointed district chaplain for the states of Ohio and West Virginia, where part of my family comes from. My family is from the area called Bluefield, where my uncles worked in the coal mines there in West Virginia. And it's so good to have Brother Elder Relaford on the phone. We present him to you now as God leads him. Elder Relaford, you have the phone, sir.
Amen. Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Good morning, my brother. Certainly a blessing and an honor to be with you on this morning, the Lord's day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and he told us to rejoice and be glad in it. We are now, brothers, in Walk 3:11, where we are dealing with Paul's second journey. And that comes to us from Acts 16 through 18, Paul's second journey. As we look at the overview, we see in yesterday's reading, John Mark, Barnabas' cousin and the traveling companion for part of the first journey, became the focus of a sharp dispute between Paul and Barnabas. As a result, the two veteran missionaries part company. Barnabas stays with Mark and sails for Cyprus. Paul, accompanied by Silas and Timothy, travels more than 3,000 miles planting and building up churches in Macedonia, Achaia, and Asia Minor. We see in chapter 16 the entrance into Europe. Paul and Silas visit Derbe and Lystra, where a young convert, Timothy, joins them. When God steers Paul away from Ephesus and Bithynia, his purpose for Paul is revealed in a vision in Troas. Paul is called to preach the gospel in Macedonia. Luke joins the party, and they come to Philippi, called by a man, encountered by a woman. In his vision, Paul saw a man of Macedonia pleading with him to come to Europe with the message of good news. But when Paul arrived in Philippi and looked for a place of prayer, his first stop in the city was usually the local synagogue. There, apparently, were not enough God-fearing men to be found. At least 10 Jewish men of good reputation were required to form a synagogue. Instead, Paul found a group of women by a riverbank as the first ones to listen to the message of the gospel. As a result, his first convert to Christianity in Europe was an influential businesswoman named Lydia. Now, Lydia, a prominent businesswoman, is converted, but then Paul cures a demon-possessed slave girl. Her masters have Paul and Silas beaten in jail. They are singing hymns and praying when God sends an earthquake. The frightened jailer and all of the household are converted. The authority, learning that Paul is a Roman citizen, releases him. And certainly, brothers, it's at midnight when things began to change, and so often many of us are in the midnight of our own misery and despair. And we often think, how long is this midnight going to last? What do I do when I experience this midnight of mute misery and speechless sorrow and inescapable hurt? How do I handle this midnight of briny tears which never seem to dry up? What do I do when I must face a midnight of deepening depression, when there appears no relief in sight? How long will this midnight last, when I must lie on the lonely pillow of my own thoughts, on a bed of unbelievable agony and distress. How long this midnight when I can't tell my closest friend what I feel and almost dare not to tell myself? What do I do when I must face the midnight of seeing the things I've given my life to are shattered and broken, and I no longer have the will to stoop down and fix them with the worn-out tools? What do I do when I face the midnight of seeing the vision God has given me appears trampled on by those who see but do not see and hear not the voice of their creator? What do I do at midnight? You know, we are in a moral midnight, which has seen the line between rights and wrong erased. A moral midnight which says marriage is a thing of the past and home is where you lay your hat. A moral midnight which says the end of life is to get high by any and every means available. A moral midnight when traditional values are gone. Children, just this week we see that a young boy kills his mother because she gets on him about getting a D in a class. A young man kills his grandmother because she gets on him and he decides to kill her. You know, we are in a situation where children are telling their parents what to do, and the parents are afraid of the children they feed and clothe. Don't look now, but it's midnight. And as we continue to see Paul and Silas in that jail, and Paul began to pray and Silas singing, and they continued on and till the feathers was broken and God sent, peered over the balcony and sent an earthquake that broke the shackles. We see that through that process, God looked at that young woman, or I should say Paul looked at her, but speaking on behalf of the Lord, and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the Spirit left her. We see that Paul's journey continues where there's trouble in Thessalonica. Paul spends 3 weeks in a revival in a synagogue in Thessalonica proclaiming the crucified Christ, the Messiah, when many Jews, God-fearing Gentiles, and the wives of prominent men are converted. The unbelieving Jews incite a mob against Paul and Silas. You know, Thessalonica was the capital of Macedonia. It was about 100 miles from Philippi, which was a thriving commercial harbor city. It was situated strategically on the main trade route. Today it's called Salonika. Athens was the intellectual and artistic capital of the world. It was a free city ruled by a council called the Areopagus. Obviously, Paul would not call these prominent citizens superstitious or ignorant. The correct translation is very religious. And what therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. They turned the world upside down was the charge of the Thessalonians against Paul. What a prophetic insight into the revolutionary dimensions of the gospel. In an ever-sinful world, the way of Christ is always opposed to man-made things as they are. 18, co-laborers in Corinth. Paul stays 18 months in Corinth and establishes a strong church. When believing Jews bring Paul into court, the Roman governor, Gallio, acquits him of wrongdoing. See, Corinth was a thriving commercial center. The cosmopolitan city was notorious for its immorality. Sexual lust was sanctified as 1,000 priestess, prostitutes, served the temple of Aphrodite. On one side of the marketplace stood the largest non-religious structure of ancient Greece, housing some 33 taverns and nightclubs. In this profligate port city, where Greeks, Romans, Jews, and adventurers from the whole empire gathered to transact business by day and to engage in debauchery by night. A Corinthian, a Cute, was the nickname given to a person who engaged in excessive immorality. Into this wicked, degenerate society, Paul came preaching the gospel, and many were converted. Even the most immoral of men are not beyond the redemptive power of the gospel. This assurance demonstrated in Corinth and validated through 20 centuries of Christian experience keeps the fires of evangelism and missions burning in our hearts today. My daily walk. Disagreements in the church are nothing new. Even Paul and Barnabas had a dispute, but we can learn much from the way they wisely resolved their conflict. The reason for their sharp disagreement was John Mark, who had left the team midway through the first journey, Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement, was concerned primarily for the worker and wanted to give his cousin a second chance. Paul, on the other hand, was more concerned about the work, not wanting to lose the momentum of the first journey. Through another desertion, in the end, they parted company to form the gospel teams instead of one. The impact of Paul's second journey is well documented in today's section and later in Colossians 4:10 and 2 Timothy 4:11. Paul himself warmly notes John Mark's contribution to his ministry. Being reconciled does not always mean holding the same view. Sometimes it can mean agreeing to disagree, brothers, in a spirit of love and humility. Are you having a disagreement today? Take the first step towards reconciliation by assuring the other person, I accept you as you are. Let's support one another as we labor for God's glory. Brothers, as you go throughout the day, take this word with you. Force may subdue, but love gains. And the person that forgives first wins the laurel. The person that forgives first wins the laurel. And brothers, today, you be at peace. Now, as we turn and get prepared to go to God's precious throne of grace, we certainly want to thank God for just being God all by himself. And we want to start. There was a praise report given by Brother David Sanders, who gives thanks for continued prayers for his brother Michael Williams, who's improving daily. Also, praise for Brother Edie Hall, who's doing well and always bringing cheer. And praise for Brother Lawton Greer, who's recovering well and getting about. Continue to look on them as we go forward today, my brothers. Eternal God, our Savior and our Lord, we thank you once again for an opportunity to come boldly before your throne of grace. Father, we thank you because you're God and there's no one like you. Lord, we thank you for how you watched over us last night and how you touched us and woke us in this very hour that we might wake up, touch, and agree, come together, collective, as brothers across this country, that we might come before you, Lord, and uplift the prayers of others, that we might stand in the gap and intercede on behalf of not only our brothers, but other loved ones and friends. Father God, we thank you because without you, we could do nothing but fail. Now, Father, we pray that as we continue, that if there's anything in us that's not like you, that you would take it out right now, that you would allow the blood of Jesus Christ to be applied to our life. Hello? Brother, we are also praying, dear Lord, for Brother Doug Spears, who had his leg amputated. Oh, God, we're praying that you would touch him in this very hour, Lord, and that you would strengthen him, oh, God, that you would encourage him even now and give him the assurance, Lord, that ways are already made that will enable him to go forward. Lord, we're praying for Walter Wallace, who is in ICU on today, and continue to keep Brother Dr. Joseph Reed of Musai's family in prayer as he transitioned from labor to reward. Touch him right now, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we're praying for Gloria Fleming, who is suffering from uterine cancer and Alzheimer's. We're also requesting prayer for her, Michelle Fleming, her daughter and caregiver, that she wouldn't get weary in well-doing, but she would be strengthened in this time, Lord, and that she would make her mother's bed as comfortable as possible. Lord, we're asking for safe travel of the Beta brothers who are traveling to New Jersey today for the funeral of Carl Taylor's father, for Michael Taylor, Beta 93. May God watch over and bless this family. Lord, keep Brother Daryl Hicks in prayer, oh God. Lord, we're praying today for Brother E.D. Hall, and as he continues to lift up cancer patients, Betty Jean Lucas, who is still dealing with a very aggressive form of cancer, Lord, and dealing with chemotherapy, oh God. Lord, we're asking that you would touch her body right now, from the crown of her head to the very soles of her feet. Lord, touch her like never before. Strengthen her in this very hour. Encourage her, oh God, and let her know that you're yet in complete control, oh God, and that there's nothing too hard for you. Father, we're praying for other cancer patients, Darnella Gaskin Barnes, who is currently receiving daily radiation therapy. Lord, look on Zoe Barnes and Malia Spears, who both have brain tumors, as well as Rodney Batts and Gladys Herndon. Brother, Father God, touch Brother Doug Spears, who's dealing with some issues associated with diabetes, and Stephen Murphy, as well as Virginia Jackson, who both have myopathy. Lord, we ask for complete healing and restoration from diabetes for Sister Ava, oh God. Lord, continue healing and recovery for surgery for Johnny Core, Beverly Eaton, Brother Edward Fuller, and Karen Hunt. Lord, look on our former Grand Boss Live, Brother Edward Brand, and continue to touch Ethel Cooper and Hattie Perry, their caregivers, as they deal with the challenges of aging. Lord, go into those patients that are dealing with dialysis like Rose Mitchell and touch right now and strengthen right now. And, Lord, others are going into surgery. Our own son-in-law, Brother Grand Knox, Lord, as he deals with back surgery, we're praying, oh, God, that you would go before them and go in that room, oh, God, and touch them right now, dear Lord. And, Lord, we're praying, oh, God, that nothing would be amiss. Lord, that everyone from the scrub nurses to the anesthesiologist to the surgeon, oh, God, that everybody would be in fine force and be finally tuned to the task at hand. We're praying that nothing would go wrong, oh, God, but, Lord, that you would be in the midst. We're asking that you could touch now, and when the surgery is complete, Lord, that only healing will be left. And, Lord, we know that you are God of healing, and we ask that you would bring him out of that situation into a better process, oh, God. We're trusting and depending on you in this very hour. Lord, we're praying that you would continue to lift up Mrs. Celeste Beattie's divine recovery from her hip placement surgery. Continue to strengthen our own brother Ray Johnson, O God, as he continues to stand in the gap for so many. O God, continue to look on Brother Gumby, even though he's not on this call. Lord, we know that he's yet under your protective care as he continues to lay out the fleece for the senior brothers, all grand officers, as well as our undergraduate brothers. We're praying for them right now in this very hour. Lord, touch Ben Foster. And Lord, we're thanking you for just how you're blessing him. And continue to look on our brother Staccato K. Powell, O God. Touch him right now as he crisscrossed the world, O God, and spreads your word. Lord, we're praying for Ben Foster and his family in Raleigh, North Carolina, that you would continue to look on them. And Father God, it's midnight in many lives, and we're praying for those brothers and continue to lift up Brother Stephen DeVault, those brothers that are dealing and suffering with mental health issues, alcohol, substance abuse, and other impairing addictions. Lord, we're praying that they will pursue professional help that would affect their medical health. Lord, we're praying for their families. We're praying for their employment, financial, and last but not least, their spiritual wellness. Lord, we know that with you that all things are possible, and under mighty counselors there's safety, O God. Lord, we're asking that you would just continue to look on those brothers who are in a midnight point that's looking for joy. We know that joy comes in the morning. Continue to bless them even now and give them the assurance that all is not lost. And as they continue to turn to you, you will continue to turn to them. And as they take a step towards you, O God, you can continue to embrace them and bring them out of their current situation. Oh, Father, we're praying for Brother Lawton Connolly from Phi Iota Chapter. Lord, we're praying that you would just look on his family, O Lord, having lost his biological brother. We're praying that you would strengthen and comfort them right now, dear Lord. And, oh, God, continue to bless our angel on the throne out there, Brother Michael Brown in the 12th District, oh, God. Continue to bless him even now. Oh, God, we're praying for Brother Brian K. Dirk, 4th District, and his mother, Sunita Dirk, who had a stroke and is scheduled for additional surgery on Friday, November 9th. We're praying, dear God, that you would touch her right now, Lord. And, Lord, we're praying that that 95% blockage in the carotid artery will sustain itself until the doctors can go in there and clear that out. Lord, we're praying that you would look on all voters across this country on today, that you would, Lord, just make sure that there's nothing amiss, that no situations would come forth in any of the voting places, oh, God. But, Lord, things would come off without a hitch. And, Lord, we're praying that through it all that your will be done in this election, oh, God, for you know what's best for your people. Continue to look on us, dear Father, as we leave this place, but not thy presence. Go with us and bring us back at the appointed time. And through it all, dear God, we'll say that you did it. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen, brothers. Brothers, have a blessed day.
Have a blessed day, my brother.
Amen.
Be blessed.
Blessed.
Brother Knox.